Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For our consideration meditation this morning, we direct our attention to the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 24 through 26. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" This is the word of our God. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, I'll try it for a third time. Begin with a bit of a joke. Maybe it'll tell my age, but that's all right. The setting is a man on the street, and a guy walks up to him, and he says, "Do you think that the two greatest issues of our day are ignorance and apathy?" And the answer is, "I don't care and I don't know." Thank you. That's what I like. One person, I think I heard it the first time in the 60s, so it's been around for a long, long time. But while the joke might be old, I believe it begs a question for today. Would you agree that ignorance and apathy damage the cause of Christ in our world today? That it de-energizes the mission of his church, and that they leave Jesus' followers with little passion for generous giving? Generous giving. Again, when we use this term, and this is the third of a three-part series on generous giving, let's not think of it as exclusively financial in nature, but rather think of generous giving as a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of deep love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lifestyle of extraordinary generosity toward opportunities that open up for us to give service to God and to one another and the advancing of his kingdom here on earth. In other words, generous giving is both relational and missional as well as financial. Last month in October, on that Stewardship Sunday, Pastor Hartwig introduced the idea of a triangle to help us understand generous giving. The picture is that of a triangle with each individual, separate, unique sides. And the three sides of the triangle we describe as generous giving, again, are these. Giving up. That was back in September. That is expressing deep love for God because of the wonderful gifts that he showered us with, especially the gift of his Son and the salvation we have through him. Giving out last month in October, expressing profound love for those who are not yet followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That this generous giving is very missional in its nature. And finally, for this week, giving in. Expressing exemplary love for those who are a part of the family of God. That's what we're going to talk about today on the basis of this gospel lesson from Matthew 16. Again, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's what we want to talk about today. Now, to be clear, giving in is not about losing, like an argument. Giving in is about direction, the direction of your life and your actions, about directing exemplary love for those who are a part of the family, that is, the church of God. When you're a spectator, for example, at the Indianapolis 500 race, you become a participant in one of the most adrenaline-producing events imaginable. I've never been to it. I had members in Aurelia who liked to go and went often to it, and they just fell in love with it. Obviously, to the ordinary fan, cars traveling at an excess of 200 miles an hour is somewhat staggering to even think about. The sounds of the engines as the car drakes past, he said, it was deafening, it was remarkable, incredible roar. The skill and the strength and the endurance of those drivers, the men and the women who drive those cars, again, remarkable. The speed and the precision of those who service the cars in the middle of the race, phenomenal. And that race is so fast, the requirements to win so high that those who are on the track literally are risking their lives for one purpose, that they might be the champion, that they might win the race. Certainly ignorance and apathy have no place there. That combination on a racetrack would be deadly. Spectators experience adrenaline and high excitement. And there's three things we're going to talk about. Because of the commitment of the racing team, it's so high, the demands of the race itself are so great, and the finish is so spectacular. Keep those three thoughts in mind. Commitment, demand, and spectacular finish. They kind of set forth the context of this gospel lesson, the words of Jesus, when he says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus originally spoke these words to his disciples as he was sharing with them about the conclusion of his own earthly life. Earlier in this chapter, Jesus said, or Matthew records, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. No ignorance or apathy there on the part of our Savior. And Jesus is pointing to his life, and then he's pointing to his disciples and describing to them his commitment, the demand on his life, and his spectacular finish. You know, it's what we call Easter, the joy of the resurrection. So having disclosed his own suffering, death, and resurrection, he now directs his attention to the disciples themselves and what it means for them if they are to come after him. No small commitment. No small minimal demand. No unspectacular finish. If any would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. A couple of implications that are clearly connected to this word of Jesus as it pertains to this third month of our stewardship presentation. First, the pronouns are singular. Let him deny himself, take up his cross. But Jesus is addressing the whole group, all of the disciples. For today, that means that the call to follow Jesus is extended not only to me, but to all who know Jesus, to all followers of Christ. And secondly, because the invitation to follow Jesus requires the conversion, the turning, the changing of our life, in other words, turning from sin and from selfishness to Jesus, placing our lives in his hand, each individual follower needs something. Every one of us needs it. We need the support. We need the encouragement, the counsel, the instruction, and the love for one another. Because this journey we call life, especially the Christian life, is not a journey that is to be traveled alone. But then one might ask, well, what does this have to do with generous giving? And what does this have to do with giving in? That is, directing that exemplary love for those who are part of the family of God. Matthew records again earlier here, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples. In other words, he was instructing them concerning his suffering, death, and resurrection. Now think about that thing. These actions of Jesus, what do they express? They express God's generous giving, don't they? Because what does it say in John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave. Generous giving in giving his son. And these actions show very clearly that Jesus in his life was giving in. Everything that he did for you and for me, in order that we might have forgiveness and be heirs of heaven. He's directing exemplary love to us. So giving in, as it relates to generous giving, again, is not about losing. It's about loving those who are a part of the family of God, loving those who are on that journey with you as Jesus followers. It's about supporting and sustaining each individual commitment, demand, and finish for the benefit of each individual and for the whole group, for the church. I guess instead of saying all of that, I could have summarized it with how Jesus puts it in the Gospel of John in chapter 13. Jesus says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That's the call of giving in. So there it is. No small commitment. Deny yourself. No small command. Take up your cross. No unspectacular finish. Follow Jesus. So what can we learn from the words of Jesus to help us in our lives as faithful stewards of God with respect to generous giving? Whenever I read a section of Scripture, I always like to ask myself, what is the faith lesson? What is God saying to me in these words? Let me give you a few thoughts on the basis of this text. First of all, generous giving is a process. It's not a single point in time. The starting point is not the same as the finish line. Generous giving is growth. It's growing in my understanding and capacity and ability to live as a generous giver on a daily event, as a daily event, each and every day of my life. Remember, on this day, Jesus began to teach his disciples about his commitment, demand, and finish. We know the rest of the story. Those disciples didn't always get it. He had to tell them again and again and again about his life, death, and resurrection and what it would mean for them. And it's no different for us. There are obstacles that stand in front of us in our life of generous giving and faithfulness to God. I think Paul says it rather clearly in 1 Corinthians when he describes the battle that each one of us is in every day. He says, "The good that I would, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I keep on doing." That's a battle. And you and I face that battle every time we get up in the morning, every day of our life. Do I want to follow God's will and live in accordance with his will? Or do I want to go the way of the world? Or do I want to follow my own sinful flesh? So we face that battle every day. So as a generous giving, what has to happen? Intentionally, each day, I have to turn away from my selfish, sinful nature, sinful desires, and at the same time, intentionally follow Jesus in a community of followers of Jesus. Because in that way, generous giving becomes relational, and it expresses that deep connection that I have and that we have with God and that we have with one another. Second, generous giving brings purpose to my life. A key to a purposeful life is to, as Jesus says here, take up my cross daily. Now, at the time that Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, they would have had quite a different meaning for those disciples. In that day and age, the cross may well have been the most torturous instrument of death in existence. So when the disciples would hear, "Take up your cross," They knew literally what that could mean for them in following Jesus. It could lead them to the cross and to death. Well, hopefully, not for a while yet in our world. We don't have to worry about that here. But he does tell us to take up our cross. In other words, he is saying to us, something in us must die. And that death will not be easy. That death may be personally painful, but it is a death that is absolutely necessary for us if we truly believe in generous giving. As Jesus' followers and generous givers, what needs to die? My sinful selfishness needs to die. My preference for personal advantage, always thinking, okay, what's in it for me? That needs to die. My reluctance to take up the cross and to place my life totally into the hands of Jesus and his cross, to make Jesus the center of my life, my reluctance to do that must die daily. Generous giving is purposeful for us. Jesus loves me. Jesus gave his life for my salvation. And because of his purpose as Savior, the cross could not be avoided in order for us to have salvation. So to take up the cross daily is God's call to each one of us in the whole church, expressing daily our love for him and our love for one another. Third point, generous giving focuses the direction of my life and my life's resources. Again, Jesus said, follow me. It's an invitation, not just to me, the vicar. It's an invitation to all followers of Jesus to follow him. And the wonderful thing about our God is when he extends an invitation, he also attaches a promise to it. He directs us how we can follow him, and a promise is given. Listen to this from Proverbs chapter 3. Honor the Lord, excuse me, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So what does he say? Following Jesus means honoring the Lord with your wealth, knowing that all that you have is his, and he's asking you to be a faithful steward of those things. And if you are faithful in that way, he will continue to bless you. Jesus said the same thing, much the same thing in Luke chapter 6. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So he says, give, as I have generously given to you, because the measure you use, I'll use to give it back to you. That's generous giving. What about giving in? What about directing that exemplary life of love for those who are part of the family of God? He's got directions for us there too and promises. Listen to Paul in Galatians chapter 6. Paul said, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith. So again, what's the command? What is giving in? Do not grow weary in doing good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. He says, if you do, then you will reap. Heaven will be yours. Easter will come for all of us. And the joy of the resurrection and eternal life is true for us. I love the picture that Luke gives us of that early New Testament Christian church in Acts chapter 2. Again, it's a picture of exemplary love for one another. It says, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. What a beautiful picture of this generous giving in our lives as God's people, working together in love. My friends, what an incredible blessing is ours to be a part of what we call the family of God here at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church. What a blessing and a privilege is ours to be at a place where the gospel message of God's love for us in Christ Jesus is at the center of everything that we do. To be with people who love Jesus, who want to share their faith in Jesus with each other, with this community, and with the world. Knowing salvation is ours, how can we not be all about generous giving? Again, the 3 points. Giving up. Know, believe, rejoice, give thanks, praise God for the gifts that He gives to you, especially the forgiveness, life, and salvation that is yours in Jesus Christ. Giving out. Remember, Jesus was a very intentional missionary. Throughout His earthly ministry, He sought out people so that He could tell them the story, tell them about Himself, so that they too could be a part of the family of God. If we are to be generous givers who have a strong love for Jesus, then we too have to be intentional in our sharing of that faith with others. And finally, giving in. No small commitment here for each and every one of us. Deny yourself. No small command. Take up your cross. No unspectacular finish. Follow me, because heaven is awaiting each and every one of us. My dear friends, may our love for Jesus Christ find expression in our lives in the form of generous giving as the people that God has called us to be. Generous giving, may it also be a part of our life together here at Our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.